Tonight is the Oscars. You need to tune in because I'm going to be getting an award for best actor in a drama series for a movie that came out about 30 years ago called Coming to America. Believe it or not, every seat in that auditorium is assigned to somebody. You just can't show up at the Oscars. Every seat in the Kodak Theater is assigned to somebody because it's one of those events, it's by invitation only. Are you with me? So you can get dressed up all you want and show up over there. They're not going to let you in because they're going to say, we don't know who you are. You haven't acted anything, and so you're not coming in here. But you see, it's going to be fun. I love the Oscars. I love to watch it. And I saw the Captain Phillips, the guy who was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a movie. He's a guy who's a taxi driver in Minnesota. The guy who played the Somali bandit, Irish. Everything's going to be okay. I've seen the movie. I love it. But he's not an actor. They found him on the street and, you know, he may win tonight. But the point I'm making as I begin my lesson this morning is you just can't show up at the Kodak Theater tonight. They won't let you in. But see, you and I were very aware of being invited to different things. Oops. That's a table, you know, set up for a reception at a wedding. Okay? But we're used to getting invitations. Even these days, there's something called an e-invite. In other words, you invite people on the web, and, you know, your computer sends this stuff out to people. That's what a lot of you people are doing, you know, and you don't want to go buy the invitation cards and mail them, but it's okay. I get it. But you got to be invited. Are you with me? And we're used to receiving invitations. I'm going to make this quick. We get invitations to a wedding ceremony. I got to be honest with you. When I first came to this country, I found it really weird where somebody will invite you to the ceremony, but they will invite you to the reception. And I'm like, wait a second. I get dressed up to come to the church service, and then, you know, there's no seat for me at the reception. What's up with that? But anyway, you know, I'm going to leave that to a different day. But, you know, we do that in this country. You know, you invite some people to the wedding, and you invite some people to the reception. To me, it's, I don't know. Let me not start. Wedding ceremonies, graduation party, birthday party, baby showers, dinner invitations, dates, movies, and so on. Okay? Every single man in here, you probably took out your wife on a date. You invited her out. Because there's nobody in here that I know of that you went to her pop, you went to your parents and said, you know what, get her for me. It didn't work that way. Okay, you took her out on a date, she accepted, and praise God, today you've been married for 30 years, and God bless you. Are you with me? But we're used to this concept. The truth is, an invitation is a powerful thing. It really is. It's a powerful way to reach other people. And that's what I want to talk about this morning for a few minutes. And then I'll sit down and be quiet. You know, I got to do something. Could you guys wave? I got to take a picture. This time next week, God willing, I will be in Nigeria preaching. And so if you guys can wave, this is for the Lagos Church. Wave. Come on, guys. Super. Thank you. Invitations are important in the Bible as well. God and Jesus extended invitations to people. People extended invitations to family members and to friends. You say, Richard, why are we talking about this? Remember, our theme this year is because the Bible tells me so. Amen. And we have a lot of great things going for us in this church. We really do. You know, like I said to you on Thursday night, when I asked Nietzsche for his feedback about what he saw, while he was here, he says, man, Your church is very warm. And I praise God for that. You know, it's something that we work hard at. And let us keep it up. Amen? SSI. Smile. Say hello. And introduce yourself. You know, it's funny. Just the other week, you know, they have a campaign now going in the world saying, say hello to people. You know, that means something. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I've been talking about this for years. But Oprah is not getting all the credit, but it's okay. Our giving. We're very generous in our church. And that's wonderful. But like we started talking about on Thursday night with the brothers, there are several things we need, you and I need to grow in our church. One of them is our discipling of one another. Amen? And Steve Collier got up on Thursday, did a fantastic job of what a discipling time needs to look like. Amen? And brothers, those were not just suggestions. We need to put those things into practice because they do work. Amen? But another area we need to really work on in our church is our outreach. Our goal and our prayer this year is to baptize 50 people into Christ in this church. We're talking about a church of 280 people. But it's going to take all of us really going to work. It's going to take all of us really praying and trusting God and watching what God will do. And so this morning I've titled the message, The Power of an Invitation. In Luke chapter 14, The Power of an Invitation. In Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. When one of those seated at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses." And the story goes on. Let me stop right there. He says here, you and I know the story. God is the one who's prepared this incredible banquet. And you and I have been invited to partake of this banquet. We didn't invite ourselves. God invited us. You are seated here this morning as a baptized disciple of Jesus because somebody reached out to you. God used another human being to get to you, to get to me. Are you with me? You and I were invited. And that should excite you because you are not an afterthought. God knows your name. God has brought you in. God invited you in. Are you with me? None of us tonight can be going and rubbing shoulders with those guys in Hollywood tonight. First of all, I'm not going to show up in my cheap suit. Yeah, I got a tuxedo in my closet that I use, you know, when I'm performing weddings and stuff like that. But I paid $200 for that tuxedo. The tuxedos those guys are going to be wearing tonight, we're talking thousands of dollars for a jacket and a pair of pants. How can that cost $10,000? I'm sorry. I ain't doing it. The $200 suit I have is just good enough if I get to be invited. Are you with me? But you see, you and I were invited to this banquet, to God's banquet. Not only a banquet that's going to, you know, go on for a few hours. We're talking about for eternity. That's what we've been invited to. And we responded to it. If you look in the scriptures, there's several divine invitations. Look in Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, this is God inviting sinners. That's you and me. In Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18, God says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Obviously, he's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to his kids back in the Old Testament. But this passage, brothers and sisters, also applies to you and me. God is calling us and has invited us sinners, offering us forgiveness for those willing to obey him. And if you think about it, that's all Christianity, that's what it is. It's you and I accepting the invitation and obeying God. God also invited the destitute. Look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, in verse 1, it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David." Guy referred to some of this in his lesson this morning. Are you with me? You see, here we see God inviting the destitute. That's you and me. Offering off what truly satisfies. He says, come and buy. And you don't have to spend your money. Are you with me? I've said it before and I'll say it again. You like free stuff. I love free stuff. You know, when you go into a store and they tell you buy one, get one free, that's where I start. Okay? I hope that's where you start also. When you see an ad saying, okay, 70% off, that's where I'm going first. Are you with me? Why? Because we like free stuff. But what God has invited us to, we couldn't purchase with money. And he says, you know, come on in. Come and drink. Come and eat. It's not going to cost you anything except our obedience. It's not going to cost us money. Are you with me? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus invited the weary and the destitute. You know the passage. In Matthew 11, I'm going to read it very quickly. Matthew 11, in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Incredible invitation. He says, come to me if you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Compared to what you're going to face in this world, let me tell you something. Jesus' yoke is a lot lighter. That's what he's saying here. You and I are going to go through stuff in life. We're going to face challenges. It's a lot easier doing it with God. And that's the invitation God has given to us. Offering us spiritual rest. Another divine invitation we find is actually in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. In verse 7. Oh, sorry, 17. It says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let he who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take free gift of the waters of life." Talking about eternity. Are you with me? Throughout the scriptures, you see God inviting mankind. Inviting people to have an incredible relationship with him. In James chapter 4, verse 8, you can write that down. The Bible says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Are you with me? You see, throughout the scriptures, it's always about spreading God's invitation. And I think as a church, we need to do that more and more. All of a sudden, you know, I feel for some of us, you know, we feel inviting people to church or inviting people to study the Bible with you is some kind of burden. It shouldn't be. When did it get to be that? What you and I have been called to, what you and I have been told to give to other people is incredible. It's an incredible privilege to invite other people to come to get to know this God that you and I know. That's what Christianity is all about. Again, write these references down. John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. We read about Andrew going to call Peter, saying, "We have found the Messiah." John chapter 1, verses 43 to 46. We read about Philip going to get Nathanael. In John chapter 4, verses 28 to 30, we find the Samaritan woman going and bringing out the entire village to come meet the Messiah. In Luke chapter 5, from verses 27 to 30, we find Matthew, or Levi, after Jesus called him from the tax collector's booth, invited his friends and family to the feast so that they could meet Jesus. I want you to notice, in all those references I just gave to you, Jesus didn't tell them to go bring other people. They just did it naturally. They couldn't help but go grab other people. Are you with me? They were not prompted. They just did it. And obviously another reference, Acts chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 33. Acts chapter 10, that's Cornelius. When Peter came, he grabbed his entire family and his close relatives to come hear him. He invited them to come. Again, nobody told him to do it. You see, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, really, Christianity is not really that complicated. It's just come and see for yourself. Come and see. I think some of us, we've made this stuff so complicated. Just come and see. You know, every once in a while, I'll meet somebody, and, you know, I introduce myself, and I tell them, you know, what church I'm a part of, and I'm the preacher and all that, and they'll say, "Ooh, I've heard about you guys." Say, "What have you heard?" And they will tell you to your face, "Oh, I've heard you guys are cult." And I always ask them one question. "Have you ever been here?" "No." "Come and see for yourself. Come and see. If I'm a cult and a cult leader, I will tell you where I meet. I will tell you where I live. When I know you can come in and record stuff and go put it on the internet. Come on, man." And usually people go, "Yeah, you're right. You got a point." Just tell people to come and see. And like I always say, when Jesus comes back, we're going to find out who was in the cult. Amen? We are not a cult. We are men and women who love God and are called people to obey and follow the scriptures. That we will not apologize for. Amen? But you see, it's telling people to simply come and see. Come and see. You know, you invite somebody out to some event and they don't show up, it gives you another opportunity to go back and say, "Hey, you missed that last week. You need to come." Some of us are seated here this morning because people kept on following up with us. And they did not give up on us. And I think sometimes we give up on people too quickly. Some people, it takes them years to come around. Remember, this is God doing his work. It's not me and you. Are you with me? But we cannot stop. Every Sunday is a special Sunday. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit works every week. I think some of us, sometimes we wait for a special Sunday to come up. You're going to keep waiting. Have you noticed how over here we don't do a lot of Bring Your Neighbor Days? Because as far as I'm concerned, every Sunday is a Bring Your Neighbor Day. Now, I know we have our International Sunday coming up in a few weeks, April 13th. Hervé Florent from the church in San Antonio. He was a missionary to French-speaking Africa for many years. He's going to be our guest speaker, and I'm looking forward to that. But you can't be waiting for a special service to invite people to. Amen? Every week is a Bring Your Neighbor Day, as far as I'm concerned. Because every week, the Bible is being taught. The word is being preached. You never know what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Some of us in here this morning, You know, we've been coming to church and you've been studying the Bible, you've seen different things. What are you waiting for? When are you going to get your life right? Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Eternity is a long time to be filled with regret. We got to get serious about repenting and changing and going after it. The Bible promises that when you repent and get baptized, God will give you His Holy Spirit to help you start living that life. It's an exciting life. Amen? You never know who God is going to lead you to. That man that you talked to at the mall, that lady that you reached out to, you know, at your workplace, you just never know. Just extend the invitation. Keep on extending it. Oh, this one is not interesting. Then go find somebody else who wants to. Amen? Many, many years ago, a brother is right presently in Columbia, South Carolina. He's going to be appointed an elder in a few weeks. His name is Joe Thomas. He was one of the original 18 on the mission team that started the church in New York City. And he was praying. He wanted to be in the ministry. He wanted to be an evangelist. And God made it very obvious that, nah, I got other plans for you. He had a great job, gave generously to the church and to the mission field. And so when he realized, you know, he couldn't be an evangelist, he just started praying to be able to convert somebody who would not only be an evangelist, but will convert and impact thousands of people. That became his prayer. This is Joe Thomas. Guess who he reached out to? Nietzsche. In 2 weeks, he's going to be appointed an elder in the church in Colombia. I don't think that's an accident. You see, you never know who you're going to reach out to, what that person is going to become. And I dare say, Nietzsche has impacted thousands of people. Here in the United States, all over this world, and especially in Africa. You just never know. You just never know. He was met on the subway in New York City. Just extend the invitation. Open your mouth. You shouldn't be afraid. I've talked about this before. Greater is the power that is in you than the power that is out there. Amen? Amen. Hold up your head. Be confident. And you watch what the Almighty God does. It starts with a simple invitation. Amen? Many, many years ago, when we were living in South Africa, there was another young lady. She was converted to campus ministry. And she used to babysit our daughter, our first daughter. And Ambassador Tolliver talked to her about going back to China. Our parents had moved from China, and they were living in South Africa. First of all, at that time, even when she became a Christian, she's Chinese. Her parents were very unhappy. They didn't understand it. But she hung in there. Guess what? Jenny is her name. Her parents got converted. Both of them. They became Christians. And a few years ago, we ran into her at a conference in Miami. And she was asking about her daughter and everything. And Sarah said, I got another one. She didn't even know. She said, where are you now, Jenny? Jenny now leads the women in China. That's her. But my point is, you never know who the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to. You just never know. You simply need to open your mouth. You know, a few weeks ago, University of Florida Law School, they keep sending me this magazine, I guess, you know, for alumni or whatever. And I read in there that there's a little convenience store where I was met 28 years ago. Ross McKenzie, one of the elders in North River, reached out to me. They were going to tear it down, and they've turned it down by now. I felt a sudden sadness. Now, praise God, I took some pictures of the place, you know, a few years ago. I need to go find them. But they've turned that place down. Because for me, I felt, you know, this is where God started it. I was standing in line to pay for the stuff I had, you know, a few snacks I bought. I was taking a break from the library, and this guy taps me on the shoulder and invites me to church. And like I say, the rest is history. You never know We simply need to keep on extending invitations to people. Amen, church? Amen. That's what it's all about. We need to invite people to church. We need to continue to invite people to examine the scriptures. We need to invite people to obey the gospel. You shouldn't be afraid of it. What you and I are calling people to is the most exciting thing that's going on the face of this universe. You know, some of us, sometimes, we feel as if, you know what, we're burdening people and we're bothering people. No! Amen? You got to change your perspective. I mean, Lee was telling me the other day, I mean, every time he walks in and he's doing his chemo or whatever, I mean, he's using the opportunity to reach out to people. He doesn't know how much time he's got. Only God does. But he's trying to impact lives. Amen? You and I don't know how much time we've got. So every opportunity we get, we just need to continue to open up our mouths. We should never give up of extending invitations. People are going to make excuses. That's what it tells us in the parable of the great banquet. You got to see beyond the excuses. Remember the rest of the story. How does it end? The master told the servants to go out and find other people. He said, bring them in so that this place will be full. He said, none of those people are invited. I'm going to get a taste of this stuff. So this person doesn't want or accept the invitation. Go find somebody else. Don't be sitting there moaning and groaning. I'm supposed to get down and depressed because you don't want to go to heaven? Oh no. Not in this life. I'm supposed to get down and depressed because this person doesn't want to change? Oh no. I'm going to find somebody else who wants to. Are you with me? And don't get me wrong. Believe it or not, sometimes Satan will use some people to tie you down. People that aren't interested. They just want to sit there and argue. I got no time for that. This is what the Bible says. Are you going to do it or not? If you're interested, yeah, we'll continue. But if not, God bless you. I will be your friend. But I'm not going to waste my time. I will keep on praying for you. I'll get out to you. But I'm going to go find somebody else who really wants to do this thing. Because one of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. And it's going to be over. And I don't know about you, I'm going to heaven. I'm taking my family to heaven. And I'm dragging as many people as I can in there with me. That's what life is all about. Amen? If the trumpet sounded right now, I'm sorry. Your job is not going to mean squat. Your house or your car or the amount of money you owe some institution, nobody's going to care. The question is, are you going to heaven? And who is going to be going with you? It will break my heart. Here I am, I'm floating up in the air, and my kids are not with me. If I don't help my kids get to heaven, I would have been a failure on this earth as far as I'm concerned. That is why every day we need to continue to pray for our kids. We need to continue to talk to them. I'm going to be home next week. I've already got a hold of my younger brother. It's not a question of where I'm going to preach. And I say, you are coming to church with me. There's no ifs or buts about it. And then after that, you are taking me out to lunch. Guess what I'm going to be doing during lunch? I'm going to be preaching the word. He's got nowhere else to go because he's going to be paying for the lunch. And it's been 27 years. He still hasn't done it yet. Although he's told me many, many times, hey, Papa, he calls me Papa. That used to be my nickname when I was growing up. He says, Papa, when I'm ready to follow God, I know who to come talk to. And I keep telling him, you don't know how much time you have left on this earth. So don't keep giving me that. He's 48 years old. But he needs to get his act together. And I pray he does. That's my prayer for him. Through all this stuff. Are you with me? And so I'm saying, we can't give up on our family members. Because if you don't help them, who's going to do it? Keep praying. Keep believing. And you watch what the Almighty God does. Amen? That's what we're talking about. The power of an invitation. And so I'm asking us this morning in conclusion, who will God lead you to? That person may change many lives. You know, some of us, sadly, for some of us, the people that reached out to us, they're no longer following God. Could it be God used them to get you in here? And God wants to use you to get to other people? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't reach back and try and help those guys to come back to their senses. Like Patrick read in the communion message this morning. Many people need to come back to their senses. And we need to continue to help them so that they can be restored back to their relationship with God. But that shouldn't stop you. Amen? That should not stop you. Because God wants to use you, God wants to use me to impact many lives in the years to come. Amen? And in conclusion, you campus kids, I hope you continue to dream. Because of all the people in this room, except for the kids, you guys have your whole life in front of you. And you need to learn, you need to grow, so that you can be everything God has put you on this earth to be. For those of us who are married, we need to get our act together. Because we've been around a long time, we got some experience, and we got some money. Two things that these kids don't have. But we've allowed the pressures of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. That's what the scriptures teach. To kind of affect our relationship with God. You can't take it with you. How's our outreach? What does that look like? Are we just going through the routine, go to work, come back, help the kids with homework, put them to bed, go to work, come back, take them some activity, go to bed? Is that what you're living? Church, the power of an invitation. Invite people into your home. Invite yourselves into their homes. Amen? And you watch what the Almighty God does. Next Sunday while I'm gone, Stephen Little is going to be preaching the word. Amen? Pray for me. Again, I'm going to study the Bible with my aunts. Pray that God will move powerfully. And we'll see what the Almighty God does. God bless.
Let's bow our head in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Richard, Father, just telling us how we were invited to your kingdom, dear Lord. And remind us how we didn't deserve it, dear God. We were one of those people that, were on the streets, Father, that's not the most important people in the world, but you invited us, dear Lord. Because you loved us, Father, you handpicked us, and because you know, Father, what you can do, and we can be a vessel for you and your kingdom, dear Lord, so others may come to know you. Father, help us to be reminded today, Father, that we are undeserving people. Father, we need to repent of our sins, dear Lord, as quickly as possible, because I know that this world, it will come to pass, dear Lord, and we don't know how much time we have, dear Lord. And I know a lot of people have been thinking about, people are sick and dying and everything, Father. That's why we need to be more urgent, dear Lord, to invite people, to love them, Father, as you have loved us, dear Lord. Father, thank you so much, Father, that we can be an impact. Father, we are so undeserving, dear Lord. We sin against you in many ways, dear Lord, but in spite of that, Father, you are still happy and excited when we come to you in repentance, dear Lord. And you use us even more so that others may know more about you. Father, as we go out today, Father, help us to be reminded. Please be with Richard as he goes to Johannesburg, dear Lord. Please keep him safe. Please help him to continue to be a vessel, dear Lord. Father, thank you so much for all your love. Please help us have a great day, the rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.